What's going on, Clipper Nation? Sorry, I just got a deep fried meme and made me laugh.
Are you looking at some memes after the Clippers victory?
Yeah.
That'll happen.
It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo!
Coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news. We're coming out of
nail biter. It was a nail biter.
A nail biter, but I'm calling it a quality victory.
Someone, I believe it was Chenny John on Twitter, called this a gritty win.
It was a gritty win. It felt, I don't know, it just felt like the first like truly quality victory in a while.
In a minute, yeah.
So we're going to be getting into what we liked about that one, what we disliked, as well as just overall how we're feeling. Spoiler alert, good.
Pretty good.
And then we have Twitter Tuesday for y'all. Thank you so much to everyone who sent in those questions. That's at Locked On Clips. A lot of trade talk.
Things are heating up with the trade deadline.
Things are heating up. 2 days left by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah, I believe so.
So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be getting into a little bit of shaving. So all that and more coming up right about now.
So like we alluded to, the Clippers took down the Spurs 108-105 at Staples Center.
Yeah.
This was a 15-point comeback.
Yes.
Got a little dicey at the end.
Got a little dicey at the start.
Yeah, that's fair. This one had 21 lead changes.
Wow. Yeah.
We were down 5 late. There was a Paul George dagger. There were some Lou Will free throws. This game had a lot of emotions to it, I feel like.
Absolutely.
It could have gone either way. It was kind of rough feeling till like the middle of the third.
Definitely.
This is kind of an overall vibe, I would say.
As mentioned in the game preview, Patty Mills had himself a night.
Patty Mills played great. At one point, the Clippers were playing a zone when Patty Mills was out there, and I think he hit 2 threes in like less than a minute. There were some frustrating things about this game for sure.
Definitely, but let's get into what we liked first. PG almost had a triple-double.
PG had a crazy game. He had 19, 12, and 8.
Certainly the most well-rounded performance since his re-return. in terms of impact,
he was very aggressive. He took contact well. He literally got elbowed in the face. That wasn't cool.
Yeah.
But no, he looked really aggressive. Contact didn't seem to bother him.
No. And I mean, 12 boards is just pretty wild.
You're mixing it up if you're grabbing 12 boards.
Yeah. Yeah. It just felt like one of his more well-rounded performances as a Clipper.
Another person who had a well-rounded performance was Kawhi. He had 22, 6, and 7. Had a couple take-the-game-over moments.
Yeah, definitely.
He at one point, I think it was in the third, when things started to feel a little better, he hit a three and then got a steal, like a block steal on the other end, and found Zoo for a dunk.
Yeah, I mean, the third quarter overall was just... It was a great study in composure.
That's a good call.
For the team. We were able to hold the Spurs to 19 points in that. And honestly, a big part of that was Zoo in the third. He got some big minutes in this one. He ended up playing right around 24 minutes. He was really, really pretty effective on LaMarcus.
Doc said it himself that he thought Zoo was the best defender on LaMarcus, who did end up finishing with... he had himself a pretty good day.
I mean, which we predicted, though.
Yeah, he had
27. That was going to happen.
It's LaMarcus against the Clippers.
Yeah. Zoo also had some good moments there offensively in that third quarter. He just looked really, really solid.
Shot 60%. Only had 9 points, but he did have 8 boards.
Yeah, and I mean, He did what we needed him to do, which was slow down LaMarcus.
Try and slow down LaMarcus. Yeah.
Also, what we like, this is just a side note, but Jakob Poeltl forgot his jersey.
Oh, yeah, that was great. He tried to check in, didn't have his jersey on underneath his warmups. Everyone was laughing at him. It was a good time.
Clown. Bev shot the ball really well.
46% from three since December.
And this is great that he's like just confidently taking those shots. I mean, it's nothing really new for Bev.
It was early, which was nice. They were trapping Kawhi, and he, you know, this really helped out the offense because this is what it's going to be in the playoffs, pretty much.
Definitely, yeah, he's going to get a lot of looks. I mean, if you have to pick and choose, you know, which of the four shooters you're going to leave open, Doc talked about it, but it's, you know, it's, Bev is probably going to get more open looks than some other guys on that.
Made him pay early, which was great. The transition offense looked better in this game.
Yeah, when we were able to push the pace, it was effective.
Second game in a row, we beat the team in fast break points.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Dominated them in the paint, points in the paint.
Which was surprising because... they killed us in the mid-range. Yeah. We had twice as many turnovers as they did, but we won.
Yeah, so 12 turnovers. 12-6. For me, 12 turnovers. I mean, I guess it depends. Like, you know, like contextually, it just depends on how the ball is moving. But I think just with the way facilitation is distributed amongst this team, like, I think that's going to be one of those things that we're going to see more. Doc has even talked about that a little bit too. He cites the Warriors, which I love.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if we're keeping that to the 12, I always just as long as it's sub 15,
you're happy.
And the ball is moving well. I'm not gonna nitpick that stuff too much. You know, like I said, unless the ball isn't moving, we were still above a team 2-1 assist ratio. So
for sure.
I'll live with it. But what didn't we like about this?
We gotta give what we liked to Trez. 63% shooting, 14 points. Brought the energy when we needed it, which is...
Offensively, he did what Trez is supposed to do. I guess I do have one dislike, and that was... It'll tie into our next thing, but that end to the first quarter where they established... Where they were able to establish that lead...
It was a 39-point first quarter for the Spurs.
Yeah, and 10 of those points came at the hands of LaMarcus Aldridge.
On Trez.
On Trez. And it was just, you knew what was going to happen every single time.
LaMarcus Aldridge gets the ball on the right block. And
yeah, he's
going to
post up on
Trez
and shoot over him.
And it worked a bunch. That was frustrating. The first quarter as a whole, it was just like, what the hell are we watching here right now? There was no defense. Like, we were shooting well. From three, they were just also shooting like 65% from the floor or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
DeRozan had 21 at the half, finished with 26.
Yeah, that first half, though, he was, I mean, it was automatic.
I guess if you were a neutral fan, it was fun to watch. Rodney Magruder was minus 13 in 7 first half minutes, which was an issue.
Yeah, so I mean, this is like a larger thing that I feel like we should address. Like, what are we doing with Rodney and Mo?
I think you can add Jerome to that list too, because Jerome was a DNP in this game.
Jerome was a DNP, and that's fine. Like, it's just like one of those things where like unless he's tacked into a deal, you know, he doesn't have a contract or anything that really like. Possesses like a whole lot of trade value per se. But if you look at it, I mean, like we played a 10-man rotation in this one, and two of those guys, I mean, Mo was better in this game than he has been, especially when he gets more of those like kind of cutting.
He scored early, which again I think kind of threw the Spurs off a little bit. I mean, not really. They were up 15 at one point.
Yeah.
We clawed back into this one.
Yeah. He got some more of those kind of like cutting looks at the rim, which is just the best way to use Mo, it seems. Even like kind of camping him out in a corner. Mixed results.
yeah, you could say that.
But are we worried about having, you know, still... just under half a season to go with a rotation of eight to nine serviceable NBA players.
Okay, it's not serviceable like it's like playoffs. Like this is championship serviceable.
That's fair.
It's
maybe
not like
I'm being a little overly critical. That's fair. I can see that.
The thing about this game, like I agree, it is crazy that the rotation is this short right now, given the continuity.
What were the Houston Rockets?
I know. But the game got better as it went on for the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, because, you know, the offense kind of hummed along-ish. There was a period in the fourth where we didn't score for, like, 2 minutes. But...
No Patrick Patterson either in this game.
No Patrick Patterson. I don't know. I think Doc wants as much time with Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah. Doc wants as much time right now with the playoff rotation.
Makes sense.
So, I mean, I'm pro it.
With the team, yeah, with the team just being fully healthy, it kind of makes sense. And we do have, you know, we do have the top level talent to kind of weather some of the pitfalls of having like a shorter rotation.
For sure.
So what else didn't we like? PG took another rough hit to the face.
Dude, he's
two
in the
games
face two
in
games
row.
In a row. I don't like that. He's fine. He returned to the game.
Yeah,
it was just a nose issue.
It was ruled a flagrant.
But doesn't mean intent. It was an accident.
It was definitely an accident, yeah.
Couple things real quick. So Doc in the post game said that Zoo was the best one on one defender versus Aldridge, which was very frustrating because there were times when we were just getting kind of killed because Zoo was not in. I do like that Zoo got 10 straight minutes in the third.
Yeah.
But just split him up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's these long streaks. I'm not saying like play him like 2 minutes and 2 minutes or something like that. But like if it's working in the first, I don't know. It's hard.
I see what you're saying. And it's
the
difficult.
The defense as a whole is better when Zoo's on the floor. With starters.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue that.
Yeah.
But the offense with Trez.
I know, but the offense. And then one more. You got one in here about Sham.
Yeah, so Sham only had three field goal attempts all night. It's actually similar to what his attempts were through the first three quarters of that game on Saturday, which Doc addressed it too. It just, this is not enough ball movement happening on that second unit.
Yeah, it gets a little sticky.
And I get it. And I get, you know, like when Trez is working well offensively, it makes sense to lean on that kind of stuff, but it just opens things up so much more when we are able to get Sham going.
Yeah, he's such a big part of the offense.
Definitely.
If he's hitting, the bench looks so much more threatening.
Definitely.
How are we feeling?
I'm feeling good. Like I said, I know that the Spurs are not a playoff team currently, but they looked to me like they were playing us like one, and
they came out really hard.
And it just feels like a quality win. I just feel like we haven't had we certainly haven't had a full roster quality win since December, and it feels good.
Full
feels
roster? Good. Don't even gotta play the full roster, you know. No, I feel good about this one. Anytime you're slow rolling a 15-point comeback, things are, you know, you got to be pretty happy with the end result. Kawhi and PG just continue to improve, which is great. This was a good sign for that.
Yeah.
Still some concerns, but, you know, what are you going to do? We're looking at best start to a 50-game mark in the history of the Clippers.
Yep. Franchise history, 35-15.
35-15.
Great start.
Great start. Let us know how you're feeling at Locked On Clips. At Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. Coming back for this, we got a bunch of trade questions to talk about. Some quality trade questions, which we appreciate. It is that season. But first, Will, I want to follow my favorite baseball team. Where should I go?
Well, let me tell you, this spring, you should follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for the Cactus League spring training.
Oh, yes.
You know why? They've got amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona really is the perfect home base for baseball fans. You can follow your favorite baseball teams at Cactus League Spring Training with 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, beautiful 75-degree temperatures, and when all 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles of the Phoenix area. You can meet players, get autographs before games. You can check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby. They got a huge craft brewing scene. They got breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company.
Goldwater?
It's great. You can enjoy live music from local and national artists and explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. And Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures.
Incredible.
Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, or just taking in a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Check off must-see destinations from your bucket list like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. Visitarizona.com/springtraining.
Okay, now that we are back from basking in the sun of wonderful Tucson. Welcome to Twitter Tuesday.
Hey.
Hey, it's Twitter Tuesday. Thanks for sending in questions. You can always send them to @LockedOnClips, @CharlesMackler, or @WillUptike.
Hey.
Send them over. Sometimes we'll answer them on Twitter, but if we do it for the show, we're just going to like it and then give you credit on the show. This is a trade talk themed Twitter Tuesday.
Naturally.
The last
Twitter Tuesday we have before the trade deadline.
It is. It's a bit of a sad day. Tristan Thompson is available. Capella's available. Windhorse was talking about the Clippers being interested in Andre Drummond. The exact quote was, "I'd watch the Clippers and centers. I don't necessarily think they can pull off a Drummond move, but he'd be the best guy that fits what they're looking for. It would take Harkless and Jermichael potentially, or Pat. You might have to include Zubats in addition to a pick." This goes great into the opening question from longtime listener Rudy Zavala. Thank you for sending the question, Rudy. "Most trade scenarios that I've seen on Twitter involve us giving up multiple players and picks for one player. Having said that, how much better can we get, if any trade, giving up multiple or key rotation players to become champions?"
So, I think...
This is the question.
I think that it bears noting that some guys aren't necessarily permanent rotation pieces. Like we said in the last segment, we're running
8 guys right now.
We're running a pretty lean rotation. So I can see us sending out... I can see us some trades netting back a player for sending 2 or 3 out. For me, the Drummond one isn't the deal.
I hate the Drummond idea.
He's a great rebounder. Interesting for sure. It would be nice to have the size and athleticism. Just that contract at nearly $28 million a year. We do have a trade exemption, which is worth noting, but it just seems like a lot to me. It seems like too much to be tied up into a center in 2020. And he does have another year after this season on that deal with, a player option. So it just seems like a lot. Andre Drummond to me would be a move that I think that you would involve Zoo in that trade.
Well, one of our centers is going out. We're not keeping 3. Yeah. And they're going to want... Zoo's an attractive piece because he's under contract.
Yeah,
his deal's good, and he is good.
I feel like...
As Sabrina Merchant said.
If you're picking up Andre Drummond too at that price... I feel like you're also kind of resigned to more than likely not paying Trez in the offseason. I just don't really know.
Yeah, that's a weird scenario where you're paying like...
I don't really know how the money works.
I just don't like it from the spacing. We're losing spacing if Jermichael especially is part of the thing.
Yeah.
We're losing so much spacing.
Well, Jermichael has kind of been up and down.
But he's just, he still provides. He can provide it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It says I don't. What about Tristan Thompson?
He can. He definitely can provide it. I need to be giving him more credit. He was 3 of 7 tonight. from 3.
I don't think Tristan Thompson. I don't think that's a thing that happens.
No. And at that, once again, I'm kind of getting sticker shock at that price. Yeah. Because I believe he's like in an 18 mil range.
I'll look at it right now, but I believe it's something like that.
And once again, you're still, Tristan Thompson is kind of more of a, he's almost a small ball 5. I mean, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he's not. I mean, like he's like Trez's size.
He's probably a little bigger than Trez, but,
yeah, but he's only 28.
Tristan Thompson's only 28?
Yeah.
Wow, good for him.
He's making 18 mil.
That's what I thought. 18 mil is...
unrestricted next year.
I mean,
so say he has a crazy playoffs or something, then we probably can't even keep him.
Yeah, it's like, how much are you really willing to give for an expiring? I don't know. That's a situation where sending two out. I just feel like you do run the risk of like having somebody walk.
For sure. Nilo Mercado, at Nilo Mercado, says, Nerlens Noel seems like a good piece for the Clippers. Should we make a move for him? He only makes $1.5 million, so I think his value, you know what I mean? There's no way that...
I mean,
you
toss him a second or something.
I mean, I like Nerlens Noel.
I like Nerlens Noel. I think.
But then we'd have three centers.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting... I think he's an interesting piece.
Because we're not trying Zoo or Trez for Nerlens Noel, you know? Like,
No, but at the same time, we run into that thing of, like, what do we need three centers for?
Yeah, and they'd make us take something because it's the Thunder.
Yeah, to get out some money that we'd probably be taking on a piece.
Yeah.
I like Nerlens.
I'm a big Nerlens Noel fan.
I like Nerlens. I definitely think it's interesting.
I respect the hot dog move.
Rashawn Holmes has also been floated. I really do like that idea and fit.
I'm still waiting for a Woj bomb to happen while we're doing an episode.
Yeah.
It might happen at some point this week, which would be crazy.
I mean, well, if something is going to happen, it has to.
Obviously. Yeah. at Love Can Be asks, why is Jerome Robinson still on the team?
So we talked
blunt, I would say. This is a blunt question. This has a tinge of anger behind it.
I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but I just think you're at a little bit of a quandary of what you're gonna do, because I don't feel like stashing him in the G League in at this point is like really gonna help his development at all.
Can't hurt it.
Not a whole lot of minutes for him to develop, though, on the regular squad.
You could almost say borderline 0 minutes.
Yes.
He was a DNP today. Not on the injury report either.
Yeah, and I don't. He's on the team because there was some belief in him from the front office, and there hasn't been a deal for him, you know, and like no one's, I don't think that people are really making calls. If we do move away from him, he would be a piece, you know, like in a trade.
Yeah.
In a larger trade.
At very active Twitter user ringwraith05 asks if we're excited or nervous for the trade deadline, and at Darren_J96 wonders if there are any Clippers players who we believe are untouchable. So I feel like this is a kind of a good combo question. I am nervous more than excited.
Yeah.
I'm nervous because I don't know what I want to happen, because I don't know what's going to happen at all.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know,
would you be disappointed if nothing happens?
No.
That's the thing. It's just.
But I also wouldn't be disappointed if we made a trade.
Yeah.
So it's like. The only way I'm disappointed is if we trade for Drummond and it involves Jamichael or another spacing piece.
Yeah, I mean, I vibe with that. Drummond to me, I mean, I guess it's a win now move. I just don't even know. When I plug this into the trade machine, and you know, granted, it's not the be all end all, but it wasn't really affecting our win totals. Like I ran one where it literally stayed the same, and then I saw a couple other on the internet that it was like +1 on the internet. You know, so just for the price, I guess that to me would be that's very nervous making. That's very it seems a little possibly foolhardy, but. In reference to the second question, are there Clippers players we believe are untouchable? I mean, other than the obvious ones, Paul George, Kawhi, I would say that, dude, I would be very surprised if Pat was moved.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on the last episode. I think Pat's borderline untouchable. I think Lou is.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, that's... That's fair. That might be end of list. Would you put Landry in there? Or?
No.
You think he could be moved?
For sure. It's a very valuable piece.
Very valuable piece, yeah.
Coming up after this, we have a quick trade idea. A couple more questions, but first, if you've been a listener on this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertised work we've been doing with Locked On to reach sports fans. You may not know that Locked On Clippers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Clippers fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedon.com/advertising.
All right, so
welcome to Shavings.
Hey, slash more Twitter Tuesday.
More Twitter Tuesday. At LARway wants to know what jersey we'd like to see the Clippers win the finals in. That's a good question.
I love this. I mean, probably the Mr. Cartoon ones.
Yeah, probably the
Masseur.
That'd be the coolest
Masseur cartoon.
Yeah. That'd be the coolest one to see. None of the other ones really. Maybe if we did a throwback to the blue with the script, but
I mean the Braves ones are nice.
It'd be insane to wear throwbacks in the finals. I think the NBA would be like, no, you idiots, you can't do that.
It would be insane, and like,
one that's like such a throwback, like it's not even like an old Clippers jersey.
No, totally.
That'd be so funny.
And
the NBA would be like, you guys are lunatics.
Just after everything that this franchise has been through, I would hate to see them winning a finals or even, you know, appearing in a finals or whatever in a jersey that wasn't the Clippers.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. At Step Back Tree says the first seed is so close. Do we think the Clippers can take it from the Lakers?
You know, honestly, I don't even know that it's in our like line of vision. Not in that it's unattainable or anything. I think that where we're at right now, game planning as a team is taking games one game at a time and just trying to have a fully healthy roster.
Three games back. I mean, we have some tough games coming up. We got Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I think, don't we play Boston a couple times?
We play Philadelphia a couple times. We do play Boston. I don't know. There's still a lot of games left to be played.
We got some easy ones. We go Heat hard at Timberwolves, you know, at Cavs, you know, then at 76ers.
Mm-hmm. We're great at home.
At 76ers, at Celtics, home to the Kings. So, I mean, that's 3-3. Like, going 4-2 over that stretch would be awesome.
Yeah, totally.
Real quick, we got an idea. We're going to tease it. We got a couple minutes left. We were talking about this at work. A couple Clipperholics writers were talking about this on Twitter as well. I believe it was Garrett Torpening who chimed in on this.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Gordon trade. What's up with that?
You threw that at me, and I love it.
We have no idea what's going to happen, so let's talk about it. It's kind of a weird trade idea.
So this one to me,
the most realistic scenario I see would be, and I know I just said I don't want to trade Jermichael, but I was messing around. Mo, Jermichael, and Mann, plus maybe a first or the Detroit second.
You're giving up a pick. Like you're giving up an asset, or I don't think you're getting the deal done.
Yeah.
With the Magic, I just don't know what else. You know, like.
And we have the Detroit second rounders.
What else moves the needle for them?
But this is a fun thing to think about.
Yeah, I'm. You know, he's definitely got to be available in talks.
They said he was.
He's having one of. Offensively, like he's not having a good year.
They don't know what to do with him. It's weird.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're not really trying to maximize his role. So that would indicate to me that he's not really a part of their long-term plan.
He's under contract for two more years too. He's going to be making $16 million the last years of his contract in 2022 when he's only going to be like 30.
And that price, I mean.
Oh, wait, no, he's only going to be like 26, excuse me.
Yeah,
I read
it was
that
like 30.
Wrong.
What? That price is incredible, and to me, he just solves a lot of problems.
It'd just be, I don't know. I don't know how realistic it is. I don't know if it would happen. Probably
it's
not.
It's probably not realistic. But I love the thought of it.
Yeah, it's a fun thing. It's fun thing to think about. Anything else in the shamings?
No, I don't think so. I just am loving this Aaron Gordon idea. So let's just put that thought out there.
I will say I liked the team vibe tonight from the clips.
Yeah, it was good.
There was a time before, right before Zubat's free throw, where Bev got everyone who was on court like together, and they like kind of were talking it out. PG was talking a bunch again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's getting there.
It's getting
it's
there.
Coalescing. It's starting to like shake. You know, in the movie when like a weird thing happens, and like it's starting to like shake right there. Like that's what it feels like right now.
Yeah, it's definitely coming together. I mean, it's so surreal too, but it's like
I know PG passed to Kawhi on the fast break, and I was like, ha, this is what we watch now.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Yeah. So let's not forget to enjoy the journey, I guess, is okay. my
What are you
going to
whip out an acoustic guitar right now? Come on, man.
I'm going to whip out a flute.
Jesus. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for Locked On Clips. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah.
Clippers got a great win.
Yeah.
Felt good. Wednesday's episode, we sent out a poll question on Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips for What You Say Wednesday. Maybe it'll have to do with the trade. I don't know. No doubt talking whatever trade rumors rear their heads. There's already some Luke Kennard to the Suns talk, which had the press room buzzing at Staples.
That's what trade season's all about, baby.
And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank you so much again for hanging out. You can find us on iTunes, Deezer, Spotify. Leave a review. We'll read it. Subscribe. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.